Hi everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Thanks everyone for stopping by. Come one, come all, right? That's pretty much what we're at today. We're at Festival of the Hunt Final Fantasy IX. And I mean, you kind of start off in what, the guest room, I guess is what it is, essentially. Someone comes in.
So you start off with the guest room, and then this is the part where, you know, all the characters get to claim their, or choose what they want for the prize for it, which of course you don't have any choice over, but Zidane goes with Gil all the way, I think is the way he says
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think that's what he says.
Yeah, Freya says an add-on, and Vivi, who didn't even know he was signed up, goes for a card.
For a card, yeah. Good old Vivi. Yeah. I signed you up. What?
Yeah.
But
I love the part, too. It's like, oh, if you win, I'll set you up with the princess.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's like, the princess? And Rusty comes on down. What are you two plotting? Nah, it's,
poor Vivi.
Yeah, poor Vivi. Always get wrapped up into everything he doesn't quite understand.
Seriously.
But Festival of the Hunt, it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, you know, you watch the little cutscenes, the beasts are loose, the crazy breeder dude's like, you know, Zagnol, go! You know, he's like unleashing his beast into the world. It's just kind of crazy, but overall, the festival itself, pretty straightforward. You get points by killing things, you know, different enemies have different point amounts, and you kind of just play it from there. So obviously, with the three party members getting three different rewards, kind of just got to decide what you want. I never really go for the Gil because kind of what's the point? I mean, I'm never really hurting that much. And 5,000, that's not that much. You literally get twice that, you know, for doing the sword fight.
Yeah.
So I don't really ever go for the Gil. I usually don't select the ring either. I tend to go for the card. It's the theater ship card.
See, that's so interesting because I don't think I've ever gotten the card.
I'm sure you get it somewhere else. Where do you get the theater ship?
I think you actually have to wait quite a while to be able to get that. I'm not aware of any card players in Limblum who play it. There's a certain point when you get to a location later on in the game, let's just say, not to spoil it. You know, where you'll find people who play just all of the ship cards.
Right.
Things like that. So it is kind of a rare card.
And
I've never gotten it.
Yeah, and I mean it's not particularly amazing. So it's kind of like Genji, you know, you gotta jump rope and it's like, well, you know, I mean it's better than the standard cards you're getting, but at the same time, I don't think I've ever gotten any crazy like values on it. But as you said, you know, for at least, you know, the short time being, you're not gonna see it again anytime soon. So I usually go for that. Of course Freya's again is the coral ring, right?
Yeah, and I really like that. That's the one I always go for because, like what you said, you know, with Zidane, you get the 5,000 gil, which is, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's pretty nice, especially if you're doing, like, maybe a low-level run or something where you're not fighting a lot and you really need the money, then that's a different story. But for me, yeah, the Coral Ring is really nice because it teaches Freya the Lancer ability. You know, that's one of her abilities that I think it drains HP and MP, or it doesn't drain, it does MP, HP and MP damage to the enemy. So it's pretty nice. And if you don't get it here, you have to wait quite a while before you can get it, like, through a weapon.
Yeah. So I got down basically the easiest ways. Obviously, there's many ways of winning with each, or making each character win, rather, because, I mean, you're only using Zidane. And so, obviously, with Zidane, the easiest thing is just to fight enemies. Feed all the enemies for the Zagnol. Once you go into it, he becomes available. He's at the market square area, whatever.
Yeah.
And that happens at 4:30. So usually you want to get there as fast as possible. And then in that fight, you just want to make sure that Zidane has the killing blow. At that point, you should, unless you haven't been fighting anything else, you should easily win with the points that you get. So that's what's Zidane. Freya, kind of the same thing. You can do anything you want. It really doesn't matter. But Zidane just pretty much has to die either before or during the Zagnol battle. Keep in mind, for the Zagnol battle, obviously, you need him to steal. So if you want those items, which they are, what, Needle, Fork, and Mithril Gloves, if you want those, you know, you might want to hold off into dying. And the easiest thing for dying is literally just make him attack himself. It's like, boom,
yeah,
dead instantly.
Much. Yeah, I've definitely tried to get the needle fork before, and that's kind of a tough one to get. The steal rate, I didn't look it up, but it's got to be fairly low. And that's kind of another thing you'd probably be asking. It's like, well, why do you really need it? Well, because if you're doing a really low level run or something like that, the needle fork is the only way moving forward for a certain amount of time that you can inflict petrify.
Gotcha.
So it's one of the ways that you can get through some of the force battles that are coming up and not gain any experience.
So there you go. Then it's better, isn't it? So that's always nice to have. So that was Freya, and then Vivi is the easiest. The only thing is that, both Zidane and Freya need to KO either during or after Zagnal. So obviously, easiest thing again would be to just go Zagnal, steal the items, and then have each of them attack themselves, KO, and then boom, Vivi wins. So that's pretty much the easiest ways. Obviously, there's multiple, variabilities and all that, but the easiest ones, that's got to be the easiest. So the Zagnal himself, he gives anywhere between 50 to 99 points. That's great that it's variables. This game loves their variables. Regardless of what you get, once again, yeah, you shouldn't have any trouble winning with Zidane if you want that money. So him himself though, Zagnol, he's actually not that easy, is he? I mean, he man, I
No.
was fighting him and then he started cranking out like electrocute and thunder, all hitting like over
Yeah.
100. I'm like, whew, goodness. Good thing I'm just gonna kill him.
Yeah. It's tricky, definitely. I think at this point, using Freya, I usually do the jump
Yeah.
move, so she's out of the picture. But then, like what you said, I mean, does a lot of damage. His normal heave attack does like what 90 to 100 damage, depending on if you're in the front or the back row. And then, like what you said, I'm never really sure what electrocute does. I forget if it actually gives him the ability to use Thundera or Thunder or whatever it
Yeah.
is, or if it strengthens it. I'm not really sure.
But once you get through that, kind of just have some dialogue to get through, right? Little tiny cutscenes. You got you're kind of in the throne room. Whoever wins, they award the prize and all that stuff. And then you got some Freya looking fellow Burmese soldier coming in. It's kind of funny. A little quick dialogue, with it is what's his name, Artemis or something like that. He's like, "Sire, don't let him see yourself." And he's like, "Look at him. His wounds have blinded him." And so it's like, yeah, he won't notice the guacs at all.
Well, he won't live to tell anybody anyways, I guess.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, that was kind of an interesting part, because I also like to think too, I mean, I know this is getting a little bit hyperbolic with the story because it's Final Fantasy and you're not supposed to apply logic to it, but how the heck did he get that far back? I mean, he's going through all these random encounters from Burmecia,
Yeah, we know
seriously?
that
And
distance,
he's
yeah.
Injured and all this stuff, so it's just kind of funny to think about that. He's just like fleeing from every battle or something. I
Yeah,
don't know.
how the heck he made it there.
Yeah.
Especially what you have to go through to get there, which is coming up probably next
We shall
episode.
find out.
Essentially, what happens is, Freya wants to go. Zidane is like, "Yeah, totally." And Vivi's like, "Me too." And, then Garnet wants to go. And they're like, "No, And regardless, it gets put off to a lunch feast, which is great because, everyone's like, "Oh, amazing food." They're eating it. And then the princess isn't eating it for some reason. And
Oh.
yeah, then they all fall asleep.
And then Steiner, it was like, wait a minute, the food is poisoned.
Yeah, he's like the classic thing where pretending to die or whatever when nothing's
Yeah,
happening,
he's like choking to death
she's
and
like,
just
"That's
dying.
impossible. There wasn't any in yours."
And so it turned out that she used sleeping weed that Zidane had given her because she'd been having trouble sleeping, supposedly, or something like that. And she put it in the food, and that's what made them all pass out. So,
Yep, because what, she wants to go back to help her mom, right? Alexandra, and Sid was like, "Nah, not good, not a good idea." But
yeah,
she's
they
doing it
wanted it
anyways.
for her to stay there. Yeah, exactly. So, and interesting with that too, like even Steiner agreed with them. He's just like, war is a horrible thing. You don't ever want to witness it. You don't want to see this stuff. But she's just like, but I have to do something.
Yeah, kind of the first time Steiner actually agrees with them.
Yeah.
Darn scoundrels. But so you're tasked with going to Burmecia, right? And you gotta leave through the Dragon Gate. You gotta go to what's it called? The Grotto, which what's the full name? It's
It's
Gizamaluk? Gizamaluk?
Gizamaluk's, yeah, Gizamaluk's
If
Grotto.
I'm saying it right.
It's a weird name.
Yeah, so you gotta go there. But some kind of just basic things. You have Moontie or Moontie. I don't know. I said, literally said it the same way twice there. But
I got
the
you.
Moogle, he's down there. No letters for him or from him. He just has a he has a letter from Stiltskin. Goes over through all stuff. So you still will have the Maki to Atla. So that's our only active one at the moment. And then kind of just make sure, you know, Freya's in there, man. You got some nice items. And hopefully you got those Mithril gloves. You got the vendor that's down there at the Dragon Gate. So make sure you stock up on potions. Equip Freya, you know, because no more dagger. You know, you don't have heals anymore, unfortunately.
So, yeah, the interesting thing about the letter from Stiltskin is it kind of foreshadows where he's moving. So I think at this point he's talking about, you know, I'm about to take off again, I'm going to head. I don't know if he specifically says where he's going to go, but anyways, that's just kind of cool as, you know, Stiltskin is kind of mirroring, like, you know, the character's journey as well through where they keep going and stuff. And then on top of that, going back to what you said as well with Freya and the items, just another FYI, this is the last time that you can buy two items, the Javelin and Silver Gloves. So after this point in the game, those become missable. So if you sell them, if you use them in synthesis or anything like that, it's just kind of interesting. This game has a lot of things like that where it just arbitrarily, like, you can't buy it anymore, you can't, you know, nothing drops
it. Yeah,
it
comes
unavailable. Right.
So they're heading out into the open world once again, and we're going to head to Bold Move. So before we get out into the open world, talking about all the different places you can see, the things you can do, let's get to our bold moves for this segment. All right, man, why don't you go ahead and start us out?
All right. So my bold move for this week is from Final Fantasy VII. And this is a pretty iconic scene and a pretty funny dialogue as well. So, bold move for Shara not making the tea exactly when Cid asked her to make the tea.
Yeah, the tea. Cid, man, Cid lays into her the whole damn time.
Oh, it's so harsh. I love how he comes back in. He's like, Shara, I thought I told you to make the goddamn tea.
Yeah. Oh, man. That is kind of a bold move.
Oh, yeah.
Just
she's
you know,
it there, man.
Expected that. Yeah. Oh, Cid. Well, we'll be digging into that once we make the seven, because that whole dynamic there was quite interesting.
Oh. It's weird, yeah. But what you got for this week?
All right, this week. You know, it's funny, because moving forward, it's going to be kind of hard to keep track of who said what at one point.
Yeah.
I don't expect this to double up yet, but this one I just kind of thought about. I was like, how have we not discussed this on Bold Move? All right, my bold move is the Final Fantasy X-2, and it's for Brother wanting to see the girls at the hot springs. Because, well, is bold really the right word for that? Maybe it's not the right word for that, but Yuna bathing.
Oh.
And Buddy's like, brother just jumped out of the ship.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a bold move, man. You want to see your cousin in a bikini that badly?
Dude, I cannot wait until we get to X2. It's so funny.
It's going to be a cringe fest.
Oh, man. Because, I mean, I think, you know, any of our listeners, if you played that game, I think we can all agree, brother is just so unbelievably creepy in that game.
It's,
I don't know why.
It's disturbingly creepy.
Like that. Very creepy, And that scene is just so funny because he literally just like jumps out of the ship or something. He's so desperate.
Yeah. So bold move to him. Again, not sure if bold is the correct word for that, but hey, whatever. So that is
pretty bold.
I guess that is our bold moves for this segment. Let's get out into the open world in Final Fantasy IX. All right, so we're out there in the open world, right? You got your nice little party, Zidane, Freya, and Vivi, and you have some options of where to go. So, I mean, this is what, your third time in the open world for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I guess the first time you did have the option of going to the North Gate, which you couldn't even do really much at anyways, but now you actually have stuff to do. So the first place that is pretty close to where you're let out at the Dragon Gate is Q's Marsh, right? And if you don't know anything, it's just kind of a spot there, and you go in, and you're greeted by a familiar face, right? And a sound, boom, 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 right? And then you see Moggy and Mogster, and you can talk to them, and you can learn more about them, you know, as in more things about the game if you want, but
Yeah, it's kind of funny because they're talking about if you go and talk to them, I think it's the same thing that the Teach Me Mogster ATEs went over. It's all like the basics, synthesis shops, status effects, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it is kind of funny when you go in there and you see those two and it's like, oh, it's the Teach Me Mogster crew.
yeah, exactly. And so yeah, so if you go on Biome, you will see possibly a familiar face. Depends on if you went to Alexandria Kitchen or not, but you see this big old fat thing and talks about hungry frogs. And so you can catch one. In fact, you kind of have to if you want this, to progress. You do have to catch a frog and then give it to him, her. And yeah, so obviously it's yummy. You go on back to there's like a little hut, right? If you keep going through the tall grass. And some dude named Quail, right?
It's really funny. And then I love in there too. You're in the hut, and the detail's really funny because like there's a giant knife and fork in the corner and stuff, like a pretty much a human-sized, knife and fork for some reason and all this kind of stuff. And you're talking to Quail, and Aquina comes in, and Quail's like, you got to get out in the world and try some different foods. There's a lot of things that are a lot more delicious than frogs. It's just like, really, really? And then like that's when Zidane does this sort of like look down and just like confused, like, what the heck is up with this person? But yeah, interesting thing about Quina. So yeah, she is hermaphroditic, also ambidextrous. It's kind of interesting, like the detail that they go into that stuff with the newer version that came out, the version they came out with on PS4. They added all this detail into it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, which I guess kind of makes sense because she is like an amphibian of some sort, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah. It does kind of look like a frog, to be honest.
It's and they live in a swamp and everything, so I don't know. It's just an interesting character. But on top of that, Vivi recognizes Quail, right?
Yeah, Vivi's, well, they're leaving, right? And Vivi's like, "Hey, that quail guy looks like my grandpa, Quan." And so they go and he wants to go and talk to him. So you'll start talking to Quail, and it's just hilarious because every sentence that Vivi says, something like, "Do you look a lot like Quan?" He's like, "I know not, like I don't know this Quan or something. We from same tribe, And all he like the more Vivi questions him, the more that he gives up that he doesn't know him. But clearly he knows him, and it's
Yeah,
just
because he gets
hilarious.
all frustrated and he's like, no, I not know that bigot.
Yeah, I know, not bigot. It's like, so how do you know he's a bigot then if you don't know him?
So clearly something happened there, and that's kind of an interesting little thing that we can talk about as we get to those locations later, that there's a connection between those two.
Yeah.
And up until this point too, you don't know anything about Vivi, right? Like as far
Yeah,
as
no.
who raised him, where he was from, etc. So this is kind of your first hint that it's like, oh wow, okay, so his grandfather was a Q. It's just kind of
Yeah,
interesting.
that is kind of interesting because he clearly does not look like Kina. So, yeah, as you leave, right, you can catch frogs. Well, you go back into that frog area, and Kina will be like, "Can I catch frogs?" And you can say yes or no. But if you do, you can start catching frogs. And I mean, I think there's only nine at a time, or it might be a variable. I don't know. I mean, I just
Yeah, I'm not
remember the
sure how
first
many
time.
at a time.
Yeah, and then how do they replenish? Do you just gotta go away and then come back and it replenishes? Is there over time?
It's by time, but there's variables that go into it. Like they get replenished a lot faster if you leave a male and a female, obviously. And if you don't just completely deplete the area of all the frogs, like if you catch all of them with Kina, then they take a lot longer to replenish.
Gotcha.
Then there's also the thing later on you'll start seeing a golden frog.
Yeah.
And that basically leaving that around, it still just counts as one frog when you catch it. But having that around increases the reproduction rate of all the frogs there.
I never knew any of this, so I mean, what you get some of the basic rewards, it's nothing great, right? So if you do decide to go ahead and catch all of them, whatever, two frogs is an ore, five frogs ether, nine frogs silk rope, and so those are going to be kind of the easier ones, and then obviously it goes up from there. So what are some other things we can get?
Well, I mean, so it goes, you've 15 frogs for elixir, 23 gives you a silver fork, 33, a bistro fork, 45, battle boots, which is an accessory, and then the ultimate 99, which comes with a little optional boss battle that we'll talk about later, with a mystery character, and also another fork, but we'll also talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll
I
talk
just
about
want to
that.
note, at this point in the game, the ore isn't anything special.
No.
Ether isn't really anything special. However, that silk robe, I always try to go for that because that is a significantly really useful piece of equipment at this point in the game. It teaches ability up, which is,
Yeah.
again, like then you can give Vivi ability up, you can give Dagger ability up. It's really useful, although it can be kind of tricky to get nine frogs at this point.
Yeah, you might have to go pal around some other areas and maybe come back to this before heading into the grotto. But kind of just some side notes. Obviously, Kina's thing is that she eats enemies, right, and gains their abilities. And basically, around this area, and what you can get is what you got frog drop, which that one's a big one. It goes with, catching frogs. We won't go, I think, into much detail on that right now, but I don't think any of these are really that great in my opinion, but what are some other ones?
Yeah, so frog drop isn't going to be that great for a while. It does damage, I don't know the exact formula, but it does damage based on the number of frogs that you've caught.
Yeah.
So typically at this point, if you have like five or seven, it'll do like, I don't know, 90 or 100 damage or something like that. It's pretty weak. But you can get that from the Gigan Toad, which is found at Q's Marsh. You can also get Aqua Breath from the Axolotl enemies, which are like the little lizard salamander looking things.
Yeah, that's right.
That one, I don't know about your experience with Aqua Breath, man, but it always misses. I don't know why. It just always misses when I try to use it.
Yep, same with me.
So out on the world map, you can get Pumpkin Head from Hedgehog Pies, which does damage equal to the difference between your max HP and your current HP, I believe. Anyways, you can get a whole bunch of different ones, but I'd say the best one at this point is Mighty Guard,
Absolutely.
which you can get from the Serpion enemies, which are like the dragons. It's pretty crazy. I mean, it costs 64 MP, so you'll only
Yeah,
get to
once.
use it one time. But the ability to cast Protect and Shell on all of your party members at this point in the game is pretty clutch, especially
Yeah.
since you don't have a white mage anymore.
Yeah, no more white mage, especially if you're taking party damage, and then if you couple that with some other ability that Freya's gonna learn here pretty soon, you kind of help your survivability for sure. Because again, I mean, yeah, it's a potion game right now, is literally what you're playing, and so anything to gate damage, you kind of need to do. But before we go on to our other option of what's in the open world, we're going to move into C trivia. Alex got his rank 6 last episode, so this time we're going to give him the rank 7 test, and yeah, let's see how he does. So let's hop to it. So we're going to start off in Final Fantasy VII. And as usual, I try to get some easy ones, some hard ones, and then some things I just think are going to be impossible. So, anyways, Final Fantasy VII, Knights of Round, right? So it hits 12 times.
Oh man, I really am not sure on that one. So I'll just say true. Am I
Okay.
true on that?
You get it set up and then you go grab a drink and come back, because that's how long that thing goes on. All right, so Final Fantasy IX. So, Gennaro fights in the festival. Festival of the Hunt, obviously. Because, I mean, obviously, you got the main candidates, you got the characters fighting, but then there are others that are fighting.
You got me on this one, dude, because I know it's one of them, but I'm trying to think back to if it's him or Banero. So I'm going to say true.
All right, Final Fantasy XII. In the original game, when you get Redis, the only ability that he has is telekinesis.
False.
Final Fantasy VIII. The magics that you can draw from Tom Barry Keane are Death, Curaga, and Full Life.
True.
All right. Final Fantasy X, Vavel Cloister of Trials, the last treasure chest that you get if you complete the cloister, is a twin lance.
False.
All right, Final Fantasy X-2, Gunner's trigger happy duration has a maximum of 2.6 seconds. Now, when I'm, you know, when you're upgrading it all the way, its maximum duration is 2.6 seconds.
Oh, man. I think it's longer than that. I'm going to say false.
Final Fantasy 13, I'm gonna butcher this. Archital? It's spelled A-R-C-H-Y-L-T-E. So Archilty? I researched how to say this, right? I researched how to say this. And no one knows for sure because it doesn't ever say it in the game. And so...
No, they never pronounce it.
They never do. And so all I found was just a bunch of people speculating. And so I settled on Archilty. Anyways, the Archilty step is the first time that you get the full party.
False.
All right, let's go through these.
Whew, man, these questions are getting tough.
Well, I thought some of these would be easy. Final Fantasy Knights of Round. I thought you were going to get this one, man. It hits 13 times.
I don't know why
I thought you were going to get it, but we did play a lot of Final Fantasy back in the day. Why weren't you counting how many times it hit?
Right? I know, I should have been taking count.
All right, Final Fantasy IX. It is Gennaro. He is fighting in the festival.
Okay, good.
Some kind of funny things on that. There's actually a handful of other contestants, right? And if you ever talk to the, like, attendants that are by the little trains, they'll tell you currently who's in the lead, right? And then they give you a little phrase. And so for Gennaro's, all of them are hilarious, but for Gennaro, it says, you know, like, Gennaro's currently in the lead, blah, blah, blah. And then it says, he's using scissors to fight with. How original.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got, like, little claws or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Using scissors to fight with. How original. Okay. Well, apparently that's a thing then. All right, Final Fantasy XII. Redis in the original only had telekinesis. That is true. It's kind of crazy how much they buffed up Redis. No, dude, that's only in the remaster. Yeah, he only had telekinesis in the original one. In the remaster, that's when he gets a rise and all these other things.
Yeah. Okay.
They beefed him up. Tom Barry Keane, those are the only ones you can draw. Death, Kiraga, and Full Life. Those are correct. So you got that one. Final Fantasy X, the Bavel Cloister of Trials. It's not called Twin Lance, so you got it correct. It's the Night Lance.
Night Lance, yeah.
Final Fantasy X-2, Gunner's Trigger Happy. Once you increase it all the way, it is 2.6 seconds. That is the maximum.
Wow. I really thought it was longer than that.
It seems longer, right? But then again, that's because you're sitting there mashing R1 as fast as you possibly can. All right, and then the Archidal Step is the first time you get full party. When do you think? When's the first time you get full party?
It was at the Palamecia, when you're at the very end of it and you're about to go and fight Bartandalus.
That's right. So you did get that true. See, because I was looking at it, I couldn't really find much, and I did not feel like digging through that strategy guide that much. It was either that or the step, so I'm going to refer to your judgment. So let's see. Well, unfortunately, man, you missed four.
Rank
7. It was. There's some. Well, I thought. I knew you were going to. At least you got the Final Fantasy yet. I was like, man, I bet you he probably just did this somewhat recently. Yeah. And so, got that one. But rank 7 aborted, man. We'll get it again next time. I got to throw in some fun questions again. But,
yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and hop back to Final Fantasy 9 and finish it up. So obviously you got Q's Marsh, but the other place you can go check out, which we talked quite a bit about in our mini game series, is the Chocobo Forest, right?
Yeah. So you can go in there, you can meet, I'm going to butcher this, the Moogle that is there, his name is Mean, I think. It's spelled M-E-N-E, and I think it's Mean. Or something like that. And so you go in there and he introduces you to Choco the Chocobo.
To Choco the Chocobo, who didn't like his previous master, so he ran away.
Yeah.
But you can just go outside, feed him some giz... crap. We just went over the pronunciation of this last time and I can't remember what I said.
Gizzle
greens. Gizzle. And then he's yours, and now you can begin Chocobo Hot and Cold. You know,
hot
you can begin
cold.
That.
Yeah.
And we already talked about it. It has the amazing song. I think that song is the only reason why I play it so much. Vamo Aya Flamenco. And I don't know. So starting out, obviously, you know, you're at this point. So whether if it's a new game for you in general or just a new save, if you've played it, I think everyone usually probably does a few of the treasure hunts. Just because, why not? You know, you can get some stuff. There are chocographs that are around right now where you can get some that have some pretty good stuff. So, you know, you try to go for those. But no, we've talked about the minigame. It can be so frustrating sometimes.
Yeah, it really can, especially at these early stages. I believe the way this works is, so as you're playing it, one of the first chocograph that you get is always going to be streamside.
Yeah.
After that, it's really annoying because you can get, it'll randomly be any of the, I don't know, 12 or 15 that are possible to get in this area.
Yeah.
And many of them you can't even access. So you'll be getting a lot of chocographs. You're trying to get, you know, I think there's 3 or 4 useful ones at this point in the game, but you'll continuously keep getting these ones that you can't get, and it just takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, as far as it costing money, I don't think you have anything to worry about. It's only, what, 30 a game. Usually you make that back pretty easily. But it's a kind of a grind at the beginning, right? Your
really
Choco's level 1, so his beak strength or whatever is very low, and so when you hit the ground, it doesn't do very much. And, you know, it's just, it's the game itself of constantly circling around the spot that apparently doesn't exist because you've hit every single grain of sand on the map. And it's like, dude, where is this stupid thing, you know? And so pretty much I think there's 2 main hot spots. I think the bottom left of the screen, right, kind of near the entrance, I find a lot in that area. And then kind of, you know, up and to the right a little bit as well, kind of that middle belt. I don't know. Usually I just go up and down it is how I do it.
Yep. Same here. Like, as soon as you start the game, turn around and hit that bottom left corner, because I swear this game will fake you out so badly where you'll immediately go forward to the opposite end and you'll be like, where the heck is it?
Yep.
And you'll go all the way back and it was right at the start, but just out of reach to where it wasn't, you
didn't
know,
register.
Choco wasn't giving you the detection alert or whatever. So that, and another thing I find so frustrating about Chocobo Hot and Cold is the fact that you can always kind of tell that you're going to get something good when the value is really high.
Yeah.
So if you hit the hot spot and then it's like 90 or 100, you're like, okay, it's going to be good.
Yeah, like, heck yeah, Chocograph.
Right, Chocograph, and then it's like 200 gil. Oh, man, you know, it's just so annoying.
Paid for 6 gays right there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's all good and fine. It's just that, honestly, trying to get the Chocographs that you want takes a while. It really does. I mean, I think I've spent like 30, half an hour to an hour or two just trying to get. So the ones that you want to get at this point, Streamside, you get there right off the bat.
Yep.
That's pretty nice because it's got Germanus boots.
Yep, and those are really good. I really like that item, especially for right now at this point in the game.
Yeah, no, they're pretty nice. Another one I like to get is Between the Mountains, or just Between Mountains, which you can access at this point in the game. And that's a really nice one because you get 2 cotton ropes in there. And then another one you probably want to get is Healing Shore, which you can gain at this point, and you'll be able to dig that up once you get closer to Bermesia. But that's also a really good one.
Yeah, so those are like in the kind of either immediate or just about to get to areas. But like you said, man, I mean, there's many more you can get from the forest, because it's like the forest just has a pool of them. And I remember my last playthrough was, I got the, obviously, like you said, you get the Streamside one. And I was trying to get some other ones. I didn't quite remember very much because I was like, you know, my first playthrough in a decade. But I just knew there was other ones, but I kept getting the ones that were, you know, on the other continents. And I'm like, come on, man, like, hook me up here. I can't even, there's just a bunch of question marks and, you know, the little chocograph guide thing. And kind of frustrating with that is, even with the frustrating game itself, it still likes to troll you with 200 gil and other things like that. And then also just by, like, here's all these chocographs you can't even get right now.
Exactly. And this is all optional, you know. This is
Of course.
an optional mini game type thing, but the prizes that you can get are so useful throughout the game if you're willing to, you know, if you're willing and have the patience
Yeah.
to get all of these chocographs and things like that.
Absolutely. And it goes into, I think it's very beneficial to hit up hot and cold right in the beginning when you can, right now at this state, just because one, obviously the items you can get right now, but also just chip away at it, you know, because it can take a very long time. And if you just wait till the end to where you can, you know, just fly around and do it very quickly, that's great and all. But at the same time, now you're having to grind it out and you're having to do all of those over and over and over. And I mean, some of the best items in the game are from this, you know, upgrading your chocobo. And so, yeah, do some chip away to do like an hour. I mean, it becomes very redundant and you kind of like get in a little trance of just going back and forth, but it's worth it. Chip away at it, and that way you don't leave such a monumental task later all at once.
Yeah, 'cause it's kind of unfortunate in a way that through this mini game, you get some fantastic items, but you don't really need the items to beat the game. The main draw of this side quest is it grants you the opportunity to fight one of the most powerful end game super bosses in all of the Final Fantasy series that we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But this is the only way to do it, is to actually start from the ground up, start from the very beginning at Chocobo's Forest, and get all those chocographs, and it's just extremely time consuming, so I understand why a lot of people just completely bypass this.
Yeah, absolutely. Or do a few and give up at that point. But don't do it. Push through it.
Yeah,
Push through
it's
the
worth it.
pain. But that's all we got, because at this point you would go to Gizmaluk Grotto, right? And we'll leave that for the next time when we can kind of move forward in the story a little bit with some other cool things and maybe even finish up disc one. Whoa. And so
Yeah, it'd be cool.
it is, we're getting through it. We're getting to the heat of stuff, but of course,
Nice.
not much else really do. You can go around this open world here. You can fight things and all that, but essentially, yeah, you're funneled to the grotto, which in itself is very in depth. And so that'll be fun to get into next time.
Yeah, this is when the story really starts to heat up.
Yeah, it is. So we thank you all for spending time listening. Don't forget to check out our website, Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.com. It's just our podcast name. We obviously have our podcast episodes up there. We got blogs, we got some media stuff, and it's a good place to kind of just go and check it all out. And we also put the music. So if you're enjoying the music and obviously the songs that we like to talk about, it's there in the blog post as well, so that's kind of cool. Also want to do on the note of the website, I didn't want to forget, I want to do a shout out to Angela J. Ford Marketing. She's the one who put that website together for us. So her link, I think, is at the bottom of our website. If you are interested in websites or anything like that, definitely hit her up. She did a really great job. We're really enjoying it. And
Definitely.
yeah, and then of course social media, Instagram's where it's at. Hit us up. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll catch you next time. I'm Mark,
I'm Alex.
and this is a Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.